Welcome to the Know How Podcast, the only podcast to give you access to top tips, recruiting stories, and insider info here at Impellum. So sit back and turn the volume up. On this episode of Diary of a Serial Biller, we get to know Kim Bouvier. Recently promoted from Client Solutions Manager to Associate Director of Sales at SRG, Kim sheds light on the significance behind internal relationship building with sales and delivery and discusses how she's found success throughout her staffing tenure, now as a top biller at Impellum North America. A prominent woman in sales, a full-time mother and respected leader, Kim is a true shark in the high sea of demands that swim within the staffing realm. Keep listening to hear Kim's secret ingredients to balancing it all and what keeps her at the top of an increasingly competitive market.
I'm Anna Lazinski, and I'm a performance and development practitioner here on the P&D team in North America. And Kim, I'll turn it to you if you want to give us a quick intro, who you are, where you're based, how long you've been with the company, all that good stuff. And then we'll go ahead and get the questions rolling from there.
Yeah, so my name's Kim Bouvier, and I live in Raymond, New Hampshire, a really small town, kind of in the middle of nowhere. And I just joined SRG in August. So, I'm excited to be part of the team.
Nice. Yeah, it's been a good couple months so far having you here. And I guess off of that, just so we can get a better idea of sort of your background, how you came out about in your career, how long you've been in the staffing industry, and sort of how that led you to SRG.
Yeah, so I've been in staffing for about 7 years now, always in a sales role. I came from Alku, which is the same company as Nate. Definitely have a love for it. It can have its challenges, but it's definitely a rewarding job, that's for sure.
Okay, awesome. And so having, you know, quite the tenure being in the staffing industry for the amount of time so far, I guess with that, you know, how do you typically find success in breaking into new clients or new accounts when you are starting out? In a different sort of realm and really gaining client trust against other competition?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I would say that typically it comes from the relationship, right? You know, anyone can do work with anyone, but at the end of the day, people are going to want to work with people that they like and they get along with or they trust. And so I think at the end of the day, how I've always been able to be successful with my clients is building that trust and building relationships with them. So, you know, when the time does come and they have a need, they do work with somebody that they trust.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, you know, we've talked about it plenty of times, trust being a key part to, you know, finding that success. And with that comes, you know, developing those relationships and really being consistent with that. So perfect. And I guess having the skills to successfully develop those relationships with those clients or hiring managers that you're working with, and seeing that that's worked out for you so well, how would you say that you build those relationships internally with your delivery team?
Yeah, so I think your external relationships, like your clients and everything, are just as important, or your internal relationships are just as important as those internals externally, right? You know, at the end of the day, your delivery team is the ones that are finding you these candidates. And if you don't have a good relationship with them, then you're not going to be able to deliver as a team. So something that I've always done is just be very honest, open, and transparent to my delivery team. So sometimes it may come across as a little blunt, a little too honest, but what you see is what you get. So there's never any like, where's Kim stand in this? Or what's an update? No one's really left with any question marks because I'm just kind of, I lay it out on the table and put it right there. So that's one way I've always been able to, you know, have a good relationship with my delivery team, being transparent, honest. And then at the end of the day, just like not leaving them hanging, because I think, you know, delivery and sales is very different in so many ways, but we all have the same common goal, right? So I just try to be like fill them in as honest as possible or try to like help them understand where we're going on the sales side of things too. So that's one way I've always been able to develop relationships internally with my delivery team.
Yeah, perfect. I totally agree. I think, you know, having those relationships or not having those relationships or having a lack of communication or what have you, neither the delivery or sales are going to get anywhere. So really paying attention and putting in genuine care into developing those relationships again and maintaining them will be important for both sales and delivery. You know, again, common themes, honesty, open communication, all that, you know, is super, super important to build that trust and know that you guys have a shared common ground to, you know, meet that end goal. So perfect. And then off of that, do you have any like examples or a story that you can give us of a time where developing those relationships took some time or was a little bit difficult at first, but ended up being worth it, whether that's in the past or within SRG or any sort of examples there?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's a lot of stories that go back, right? But I think for me, one that really sticks out is I used to have this hiring manager that I think when you, I always tell the team this too, but the good hiring managers are always the hiring managers that, you know, are mean at first, right? Like they're the ones that don't want to give you the time of the day. But then the ones that are always nice to you, like never really end up calling you back or utilizing you. That's what I've always found. So I first had this initial conversation with this woman and she was just like being extremely hard on me. But I was like, you know what? Like, let's just develop a relationship. When the time comes, like maybe you'll hire from me. She's like, probably not, but sure, you can follow up with me. Like the call was very blah. But I just stayed consistent, stuck to, you know, what I normally do, follow up. And eventually after like 5 or 6 phone calls, she finally was like, you know what, Kim, I'm going to give you a shot. And so she finally did. And she ended up being like my best hiring manager. She hired that year, like 10 people from me. We went to a Red Sox game and I drank beers with her and her kids. And like, my husband got extremely like not drunk, but he like had so much fun with her husband and it just ended up being like a relationship further than just work. Yeah. And she's like older. But it was just, it's funny because you got to just put yourself in their shoes. Like when I get scam calls all the time, I'm like, all right, leave me alone. You know what I mean? Like you just have to understand where they're coming from too, and just try to bring them back down to that level of, hey, I'm another human being on the other side of the phone and I'm just, you know, trying to make a living as well. So let's work together. Let's see where we can figure this out. And so I think a lot of, you know, there's a lot of those stories, but that one just stands out because she ended up hiring a lot of people from me and it was a really difficult phone call in the beginning.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I mean, I can definitely say the same about plenty of candidates in the past during my time recruiting where they are a little harsh at first. They're really tough on their rate, you know, strong skills, but can't really find a fit for them right now. And, you know, they talk to recruiters all day long and they don't want to talk to me, but, you know, you still keep that up, give it time, be patient, and you'd be surprised how well it works out. And, you know, they warm up to you eventually. And sometimes the best, you know, relationships that you can form are those ones that you wouldn't expect to develop or, you know, come to fruition in that sense. So that's great. So perfect. And then, so going on to the next question here, I guess, you know, what are some tips that you can share in regards to staying organized on top of your day while, you know, also being a mother, having a family, taking care of the family, things like that. That's like a 24/7 job for sure. But, you know, while also being in your position here, being in the sales realm, super demanding and competitive, you know, how do you sort of stay organized in that sense?
Yeah, I mean, everyone works differently. Everyone, you know, has their little ways that work for them. But for me, I'm an extremely organized person. So, and I'm an early bird. So I like to come in the morning and get things done before my son wakes up and then utilize those times that he's at school. And then, you know, like instead of maybe I'll work through lunch, like I'll eat during my lunchtime and then you know, if I do take like a 30-minute break or something, I'll fold laundry. So then when he gets home, like I have time to spend with him. And I don't have to use that time, you know, that he's home to like do something else that I was supposed to be doing. So I just try to organize my day. Like, obviously I've had times where interviews have gone till 6 o'clock at night, and obviously those times that stinks. And, but that's part of the job, and that's what makes this job so demanding. And it is difficult, like being a mom in this, especially I think sales in general is difficult. So not just staffing, but, I just try to stay on top of things and do the best that I can and try to, you know, be there like present when I'm supposed to be working, and then kind of just try to shut off when I'm not supposed to be and be a mom. So I guess the best advice that I would have to give to people is do what works for you and stay on top of things. Because I've let this job get in the way of like my personal life too, and it can affect your work lifestyle too. So definitely just try to be one step ahead. Just be one step ahead.
Yeah, no, that's great. Definitely being proactive and just striking that balance between work and personal, and, you know, not letting them overmesh too much to the point where it's affecting both. And definitely, I think just like planning out your day or trying different sort of methods that work best for you, because everybody who, whether you're working from home or not, and depending on your situations, if you also have kids or other demanding external, you know, needs outside of work, just really figuring out and taking the time to invest on how you can strike that balance so that it works, will definitely, you know, help you in the end. So
yeah,
perfect.
Definitely. And I think sometimes like in this business, it can get like I'd be upset. I'm like, oh, I've interviewed till six. Like I'm his mom. I'm supposed to be spending time with him. But then there's the other half where I'm like, I also want to buy him nice things and like go on vacation right with him. And that's what this job can do. It can provide that balance as long as you can, right, you know, handle that balance. So,
yeah.
But yeah, great. You bring up great points.
Definitely. Perfect. All right. Well, I guess going off of that and sort of touching on the topic of women in sales and sort of just being a strong, successful woman in sales like yourself. And like we've talked about with the industry being so competitive and very demanding and predominantly male-based, historically at least, you know, how do you maintain such strong confidence and that competitive mindset given those things within your day-to-day?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, I never really looked at it as like, you know, I'm a woman and I'm a little bit discouraged. I never really had the mindset that way, but maybe that's just because like I've always been like a confident person. Like I went to school for sports broadcasting, so I've always like been in the public eye and things like that. So that never scared me. I guess like just staying always true to myself. I've also would say that like sometimes I feel like I have the advantage of being a woman in this job because like I can get away with saying some things that like maybe some of my male counterparts can't, or like the way I say it. I had one of my previous colleagues make a joke at me before saying like I gave a suggestion of how he should say something, and he's like, well, it's easy for you to say because you might be able to say that in like a sweet, cute voice. But no, but sometimes it can be challenging, of course, because like you said, it is mainly, you know, in the sales role, it is mainly males. But I just stay true to myself, be confident, and, you know, at the end of the day, what do you have to lose, right? The person hangs up you, they don't want to do work with you, move on to the next person. And I think that should apply to anyone, whether, sorry,
whether okay,
you're a male or a female. So
yeah, no, I agree with that totally. I think, yeah, all you can do is sticking to who you are, being, you know, honest with yourself and keeping that confidence mindset. Nothing really can stop you from there. And, you know, all that negativity or other sort of worries being in an environment that would be, you know, very male dominated is, you know, just blocking that out definitely will help anybody really, you know, power through things like that. So perfect. And then last question here, I guess, for you, Kim, you know, any last bit of advice that you'd like to give to fellow salespeople watching or any recruiters here that might just be starting out in their roles, anything really that you'd like to say?
Yeah, I mean, kind of just like what I've been saying this whole time, you know, make sure that you're staying true to yourself and always staying one step ahead of your competition. And also, like, don't be afraid to reach out to somebody on your team and, you know, try to develop that relationship. Like, even if it is on the delivery side, like, I remember starting out, I didn't know anyone on the delivery team. And then I got a job and I was like, okay, well, hey. And like, I kind of just set the tone of how I wanted to run my desk. And now every time I like do work with somebody on the delivery team, they know exactly how I normally would work with them. Mm-hmm. So don't be afraid to just like put your neck out. Like, we're in sales, so speak up, yeah. You know, reach out to your team members. I think, you know, a lot of the time, like, it can be really hard. There's always a gap between delivery and sales sometimes. And I think being able to bridge that gap and, you know, step up to the plate and you know, meet with them, definitely do that. And the same thing on the delivery side, like, sales don't bite. So don't be afraid to reach out to them as well and ask for help. Because even no matter how many years of experience you have in this role, like, everyone can learn something from anyone.
Yeah, absolutely. And setting the tone, I love how you said that. It's definitely, you know, when it comes to bridging that gap between sales and delivery and working as a team and, you know, like I said before and how we talked about understanding that shared common ground and goal that you want to meet and being able to set that tone and really give those expectations can help others really rely on you and vice versa on, you know, how you operate and how to, you know, meet that end goal. So thank you. And then I guess those are all the questions from me. Does anybody else have any other questions that they'd like to ask him or anything, any comments or?
It's not so much a question, but more a comment. One thing that you said that really resonates with me that I always coach people on is being true to yourself. I think that goes a long way because it's just being honest about who you are. And at the end of the day, whether you're in sales, whether you're in recruitment, we're selling something, right? We're going to sell the people the opportunity, the company, client. You're selling our people, our services to the client, vice versa. So like you said, Anna, having that common ground and how we bridge that, because I've always traditionally been 360 and I've just recently transitioned on just the delivery side. So I understand there's that stigma. I understand there's always that back and forth and things. And one thing that really resonated what you mentioned was that true to yourself, because it can mean a lot of things. At the end of the day, what really resonates with me from you being on the sales side, which I traditionally came from, is you just saying that in order to bridge that gap, you're being true, honest, and transparent with your delivery team. That is huge for me. Whether it's straight blunt or comes off straight rude, like you mentioned, that's not the case. That's the bottom line, black and white. It's the facts. We don't need gray areas because there's already too many gray areas of recruitment on a daily basis. So sorry for stealing your thunder there, but I really wanted to highlight true to yourself is huge to me because it's like, hey, every single one of us, every single person on delivery or sales, your sales pitch, your signposting on how you're going to sell this candidate the dream job is going to be different from the next person, from Logan, from Anna, from Kim, from Kyle, from Chad. And so as long as you know that you're true to yourself and just be yourself, you don't have to read from a script. You don't need to be robotic. You just need to be yourself, crack jokes with them, throw humor in there, mirror match them. And that's at the end of the day, which kind of ties in what I always, you know, go back to. It's super cheesy, but people, period, are going to buy from people they like. So if you're true to yourself, most likely you're not everybody's cup of tea. That's okay. You just got to make sure as long as you stay true to yourself, you're going to win business. And it's not every single business you go after, you're going to win. And what I love that case study that you mentioned about that horror story, if you will, that manager's being, you know, X, Y, and Z with you, but that persistence paid off and you guys are sharing beers and hanging out with the kids and drinking. I love that because I've done that in the past myself and it just goes such a long way. Because they get people like us calling every single day and they're just trying to sell versus you saying, hey, just give me a chance. I want to win your best side. And at the end of the day, I do agree with you, Kim. The harder that challenge, the more I want that sale, because you know, once you win them over, you're going to earn it and you're going to deliver on it, whether it's your delivery team or yourself. So sorry for kind of stealing and highlighting your thunder there, but I really like that true to yourself. I wrote it down in bold and I put it in highlights. So I really like that.
No, absolutely. No, I love that. And I think especially like in this environment being remote, you know, a lot of that communication can go out the window. And so being overly, like communicating overly to your team, I think it's super important. So
absolutely agree.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing your story, by the way. Thank you for that.
Yeah, of course.
Thank you, Anderson. And yeah, well, thank you to everybody else as well. If anybody, of course, like has any other questions for Kim or wants to get to know her better, maybe work with her closer, I'm sure she'll be available and willing to help. So thank you, Kim, and everybody else.
Thanks for listening, and watch out for the next episode of Diary of a Serial Biller.